Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
911 emergency.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm your co-host, Sarah Levine, here as always with...
Danny Murphy.
Casey Balcham.
Woo!
We're in an upbeat mood today. We're swinging a high.
It's yeah. Wednesday morning. It feels like Tuesday.
I'm confused.
Right? Well, you're off every Monday, right?
Yeah. And with The Bachelor being 8 hours long, I feel like I work a full day.
Oh my God.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
how's true. That show been going?
It's actually a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
It's a good time.
I mean, and Peter has proven to be the Hannah Brown of Bachelors.
The worst.
He's picking the worst people.
He sucks.
So bad.
I think he's fine. It's like there's no reason for
Peter is literally me because I feel like he confuses emotional stability with boringness. And like lack of interest.
I can't hate him. Needs the crazy.
Wait, maybe you're his soulmate.
Do you know? Oh my God, I'll message him.
And a man He'll that respond. Like seeks out crazy like that is not somebody that I want to be my pilot.
You're right.
That's my
and somebody who trips over nothing and impales his own face on a glass he was holding.
Yeah.
I don't want you driving my plane.
Also, they're doing too
it's
much
fine,
plane
not driving.
Stuff.
I know you're right.
Well, actually, because now we learned it's a flight manifest.
Thank
oh
yeah,
you for
I know.
Letting us know
I know.
That.
Someone let me know that. But
I don't
whatever.
Even remember when you were talking about that.
To see
we're talking
if
about
the
if the kids even made it to Hawaii, which like
the
never
manifest.
Came up in any article. Like
that's right.
I was like, this is a huge point that has not been explicitly stated. It's like, do we think they're
think
in Hawaii?
Sealed
or like, no.
In the kids' records because they can't say a lot because they're kids.
That makes sense.
It's also, we were talking about before you, when you were getting your coffee, that it's just that the Idaho police are the only people that can deal with it because technically they're missing in Idaho. So there's like,
that's
nobody
bummer.
Else is involved. And maybe Idaho's just like, I mean, they say they don't have the kids. We don't know the kids.
I don't know.
Sorry,
Idaho.
Guys, I got a strip. It's too hot.
That should
here.
Be their,
I like
that should be their slogan. I don't know Idaho. Ooh. Tyra's taking
I don't
it
damn
know.
It, that should have been Idaho. The episode title.
Somebody did send us, one of our listeners, and I'm so sorry I forgot your name, did send us something that was like, something's wrong in fucking Idaho because apparently Rexburg is an hour away from the same city that abducted in plain sight. And they were saying like there's a the LDS.
Yeah, they're
connection.
Both involved with like what I don't even understand what that denomination like means or does.
Church Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, yeah. What is it?
Mormon.
What is there like? Oh, that's Mormon. Oh, that mm-hmm. makes sense. That makes sense. I was like, the Pentecostals are the people who speak in tongues.
Of Mormon. No more. Hello.
Wow.
Have you not seen the commercial?
No, I haven't. I saw this tweet
at the
that
end
was
of the
like,
day, you're another day older.
I saw this kind of unrelated tweet, but it was
sure
like
unrelated to the case or Book of Mormon.
To the Book of Mormon,
okay,
but it reminded
we're talking
me
about
of
the
it.
Musical.
I know, but it was like I just want to have the marketing budget of Shen Yun, and I'm like, damn, that's real as fuck.
That is fucking true.
Oh, yeah.
Those billboards are everywhere, and I still have no idea what this show
if
is.
If someone wants to pay for a billboard of our podcast logo.
Oh my God, our
go
faces.
Yeah,
that would be great. It would get vandalized immediately.
Oh, it would. No, my emotional stability cannot afford that. So actually,
right?
Save your money and buy yourself, like, I don't know, a Gucci belt. Like, what do you, I don't know how much a
billboards are, I don't know, at least 2 Gucci belts.
That's okay. What if that was the only one? Like,
maybe like a Birkin, I think.
Oh. Learned about those from Gilmore Girls.
Yeah. The Church of Latter-day Saints, often formerly known as LDS Church or Mormon Church.
Oh, that makes so much sense now. Okay, okay. I wanted to play a game that I made up.
Ooh.
Ooh, we haven't played a game in a while.
I know, it's been forever. Okay, so instead of a super secret serial killer trait, what's like, I need to come up with a good name for this. Maybe you guys can help.
Okay, wait.
What's like the thing that you guys weirdly do to avoid serial killers. So like I, for instance, if I see someone like sitting in a car, I'm gonna cross the street. I'm not walking past that car. Like if it's parked or something like that, I'm nope. Mm-hmm. If the car is even running, I'm like, nope, I'm avoiding that shit.
Oh God. Well, this is something I used to do more when I was younger because my mom paranoid me. And it's, I don't know if it's more for killers or for people that would rob you. I still joke about this, about how my mom, like still to this day, will leave her TV on when she leaves for the boogeyman.
Oh yeah.
And so I used to say, like, before I'd leave my house in college, even if my roommate wasn't home, I'd be like, okay, bye Jen. And like, you know, in case anybody was in the bushes, they'd be like, man, this Jen character never leaves her house.
Jen is always home. She's Jen's so lame. There.
Yeah. That's but so it was funny. Always like when that's what I used to do. It would be like TV or radio on or something.
That's a good one.
And now I just don't lock my doors in New York City.
What?
Casey. Here's the bottom lock. We've gotten better about it.
Easy.
Me. Oh my God. Okay, so everyone go rob Casey.
I do the key claw too.
What is a
key? Oh yeah, know where you put all your keys and your things like Wolverine.
That's just like women's safety, but yeah, you're right.
It also is kind of fun. You know, I'm like, I wish somebody would come at me. But also the keys are like tiny little stubs. It's like a male key that doesn't even go past my fingers.
Yeah. Do you guys do this whenever there's like, I'll like size up the subway car I'm on, and if I'm
you have to make an ally.
This is a little, or no, I'll just an ally. First I nod, I'm like, okay, could I Kelly, we got this. But then also if it's a thing where I'm like, this is a little, there's a few more like questionable like energies on it, and I'll switch to the next one.
It's between two and three, but there's a certain point at night when all the cars are questionable energies. And it's a little like, I literally one time there was only a couple and it just me and one guy, and I just followed to where he sat and I just sat across from him. I'm like, I'm sorry. He's like, I got you. And I'm like, thank you. Because there was just all kinds of like
we're all
weird
in this together,
things.
High
and so
musical.
It was like an empty car, but with a few people like like doing stuff. And then I just sat like directly next to this man. Well, like he probably was like, you're the fucking killer bitch.
Well, it's a hard thing. Like, I feel like the fact of living in New York, it's just always like, oh, how do I live through the day type of thing?
Seriously.
Where, like, there's so many things. Like, we're in, like, squished in subway carts with people who could be murderers.
I know. One time... Okay, I have two separate stories. So, one time I was on the M60, and this woman was, like, pacing up and down, muttering to herself. And I was like, whatever. Yeah, it's a bus that goes from, like, Astoria... From LaGuardia Airport to Harlem, like, all the way across. And... Ooh. This woman was just muttering. I'm like, whatever, that's normal. But then she's like, yeah, like they don't know what it did. They don't know where I buried the bodies. And I was like, what? Oh. Turns up Netflix volume. So that was crazy. And then this other time I was on the L train, and this guy like seemed to be chatting up this girl, and I'm standing there with my book. It's also 1 a.m. And I was like, okay, let me just like kind of hover near this girl in case she needs like solidarity, in case she needs like my 5'2" ass to I don't know what. And
your
then,
Netflix documentary, 5'2".
Right. And then he's like, yeah, like, you know, just like, I got a gun. So if anything happens on this train, I got a gun. And I'm like, sir,
stop, we don't,
first of all,
have a gun.
Is that illegal? And also, like, we don't need that. Like, you would be the thing that would happen on the train. So I just like took my book and just like scooted away.
I like that you're like, well,
sorry,
you know,
sis, you're on your own.
I take your gun and I raise you a book. Knowledge is power.
Hell yeah. So yeah, those are my two. I should have died on public transit stories.
There's a lot of crazy. I was on a crowded train one time, and a guy just like, he had like no things with him. He just kind of stood there in the middle of a crowded train and started like doing like spouting like a lot of religious stuff, but like kind of some doomsday stuff, like just in the middle of a crowded train. It's like the most terrifying thing. Like,
I feel
feels like an end
you
of
just
days
see that on the street
thing.
Yeah, no, I've had them on the subway,
but
sometimes.
Like really just because his head was like above everyone, and you're just like, oh my God, is this guy about to drive this train into the ocean? Like, what is happening?
He's
like
driving the train.
Does he have a bomb strapped to him? Like, it was actually kind of one of those things where I was like, I really want to get off this train, because it's like you know, when you're just packed in and you can't move, there's already like a little bit of panic, and you're like, you know, then some guy's just like, the end of days is near, blah 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 blah, and you're like
and you're like, is that a threat?
it just feels like a Will Smith movie or something. You know,
so take a taxi when you can, I guess. I don't know.
Invest in a car.
That's our punishment.
Get a Jetta and move to Weehawken and just be safe.
A Jetta is such a certain type of car for a certain type of person.
Just certain,
aka
car.
All the girls I went to high school with.
To all the girls I've went to high school with.
To all
wait,
the girls.
Wait, that should be, oh my God, we should make a fake movie.
That's a fun
that's
sketch.
Just like fake MLMs.
To
guys,
all the girls
fuck, we
I went to
have
high
this
school
on the
with.
Air. This is a really good idea.
Okay,
we're doing this later. Bye.
Yes, we are.
No, that's this is so such a good idea. Good job, Danny, with his puns.
I know. So quick.
It's a psychosis, I feel like. I don't know. I haven't seen that word.
It's like Danny's like tick. Like, he just can't help it. He just has a pun for everything.
That's my beautiful mind. I don't know math, but I can.
You'll be like,
but I can pun with the quickness.
Isn't there like, I feel like there's got to be some kind of event.
Yeah, I haven't done it. I feel like I don't know if I have like the, if I'm ready in that part of my life to go to an event called Punderdome and enter it. Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? Maybe when I get my Jetta.
Maybe call it something else.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll just sit on my bed and let them have that moment.
I mean, what would be a less embarrassing way of saying Punderdome? I don't even know.
Comedy show.
Yeah. I was like, Bushwick comedy.
Yeah, that's true.
I literally was at a show last night and people were just like rhyming and I was like, this is sad Eminem. Like,
You went to a rhyming show?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Someone happened to do it? Yeah.
No, because like Brooklyn comedy, like whatever I'm on a show, it's like someone singing, someone doing like rhymes, and then I go up and I'm like, what the fuck do I do?
Someone's brother.
And you're like, yeah. So my jokes.
No, then I just am like, I have to address the elephant in the room. What the fuck is going on? And everyone's like, that was mean. And I'm like, well, it was honest.
That's lame. That's lame that they think that's mean.
What were you going to say, Sarah? You said one time you what? Comedy show.
Don't
puns,
even remember.
Brooklyn.
Oh my God. One time. Thank you. Wow. Memory jogging. I'm going to keep okay. Casey on retainer.
Zip, zap, zap.
Yeah, no. One time I went to like a live haiku performance.
Okay, you win.
Which was
Sarah, why?
I don't even know. I think I was like, I have no idea.
If somebody was like, hey, you want to get a glass of wine and go to a live haiku performance, I'd be like,
I think I was,
oh, I'm
at
sorry,
like
I think I need to clean the grout in my bathroom.
Yeah.
No, I'm refinancing a loan.
Actually I have to do my taxes from 2015. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Did you like, was someone you knew entering in it?
No, I was just like at a bar that it happened to have. Yeah.
Getting sadder.
A bar that happened to have that actually.
Listen,
that should be given.
I showed up and I was like,
the Zach Guide should rate them lower.
We don't want to offend the haiku community. The haiku community.
Haiku doing.
There
yeah.
we go.
Yeah.
Like to be called the haiku community. But, you know, we did.
We did. I'm
so sorry.
Well, here's my thing. Send us a haiku to change our minds because I just don't, yeah. Maybe I'm not educated
Send
enough.
Send us a haiku about murder and the winner will receive love.
Yeah, us. Shout out on our Insta stories for sure.
We can see
and
it.
And Sarah will probably end up seeing you perform it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also send us like your whatever the fuck we're calling. What is like your avoiding murder
trait? Oh yeah. How do you
I
can't
I
say don't
call,
get murdered.
I almost
want
to call like how to save a life from the fray. I don't know why that's
save
what
a life.
How to yes,
how to
step
save your
one
own life
becomes it's talking it. So send us that. Write all of that. Send us a voice message of you singing the first verse exactly like how we sang it without the actual words. And then
someone's like, well, when I'm scared if I'm passing someone on the street, I should start belting out the fray and they run away. Good safety tip.
Honestly, that is a good safety
tip. I mean,
tip.
A lot of people are scared of karaoke and musicals.
That's true.
A lot.
Then they would not do well with this podcast.
No, they wouldn't. Okay, anyway, we've got a doozy.
A double parter.
Two parts.
You crazy people wanted this soy bad.
So did I, to be honest.
Disclaimer up top. This is obviously one where there's so much information that if we don't have all of it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
Just, you know, we all have lives. We're doing this
deal.
For fun.
We're only human.
Yeah. Just deal. We're going to give you the gist of this case with as much knowledge as we were able to cram in the last few days when we were researching this and watching. So, but y'all, this is a national ripped from the headlines from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, it's also when people,
or longer than that.
When people think of true crime, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way, whenever I'm like, oh yeah, I host a true crime podcast, they always ask me about this case.
Yeah.
Yeah, or
it's
Lacey.
It's Jodi Arias, Lacey Peterson in this case.
In this case.
Oh, yeah, Jodi Arias.
Can you guys guess what it is? Call the hotline.
It's Casey Balsham.
You guys, I killed him on. No, it's Casey Anthony.
Woo.
Obviously, lots of feelings, lots of thoughts, lots of inconsistencies with this case. And let's just jump right into it.
Yeah, let's jump right in. Casey jump was born. The line. Every time I say Casey, I'm going to be confused. Yeah. Casey was born March 19th, 1986 to Cindy and George Anthony, and she gave birth to her daughter Kaylee on August 9th, 2005. So she was like 22 at this point.
I think she was 19.
Oh, 19. Oh, yeah. She was 22 at the time of like the disappearance.
Again, beautiful
and then
mind
19.
Is not our forte. Yeah, we're not good at math.
The identity of the father has not been publicly revealed, so don't ask.
Which is also crazy at this point. You think that he would have stepped...
Hell no, I would distance myself from... But he also died in a car crash the year Kaylee was born, so he never knew he had a daughter.
Oh.
I suppose, yeah.
But also, like, hell no. Even if he was alive, I would be like, Casey has thoughts.
I have a thought that's just a really dark thought that's not really nice.
Uh-oh.
But if he's dead, then he wouldn't have been able to do it. I mean, like, if you're the father, like, are you kidding me? You know how much money you would have made on an interview.
Do
you know what I mean?
Like grief groupieing from when they're somehow related, when you're like, oh, I was their postman, let me sit down with 2020 type of thing.
Yeah, like the fact, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's not a nice thought, but it is just the one that popped in my head. Don't DM me. I know that's a really rude thought, but I'm just saying, like, some people are, if this guy didn't even know his kid, like, he might not have had any ties, and he might have been like, I guess I could cash in on this, but obviously.
Yeah, but he supposedly died.
Couldn't
have.
Take it out, and I'm sorry.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
She's crying right now, guys. Don't worry.
Totally crying. On June 16, 2008, this is the last time Kaylee's reportedly seen alive. And this is when both prosecutors and defense believe that she died. So George, I think, had seen them get into Casey's car. Casey said they were going on like a little mini vacation to Jacksonville, Florida, which never happened. Also, who does that? Anyways.
People from Florida.
Lame. On July 15th, I'm going to get so many angry Florida DMs. I do not care. Okay.
On the hills, I'm going in March. So like, just like.
Where are you going? Miami?
I don't know. Kissimmee, is that a place?
Yes. Why are you going there?
Okay, third degree.
Yeah.
What the hell's in Kissimmee for you?
What if I'm like, it's my 90-day fiance? No, my friend has a house there and she invited me.
Oh, that's fun.
She's cute.
Cool.
But like, will it be? We'll see. Yes, it will.
Yeah, just don't go missing.
I just want to get sunburned.
You will.
Bring SPF.
I will?
Yeah. The sun. It burns you.
No, I trust her. Danielle listens. She got my back. Danielle, pack sunscreen.
Tell her to actually get your back with sunscreen.
Yeah.
Danielle, rub my back with sunscreen. Where are we going? What's happening?
I don't know where we're going. I'm going to
start over?
Yeah.
Almost, yeah.
Start over. All right. On July 15th, Casey's car was impounded. It's a Pontiac Sunfire throwback. Do those exist anymore? Do Pontiacs exist?
I'm sure in a certain part of the country they exist.
Like, are they still making them? Are they coming out with new models? It doesn't matter.
I think there's just like the one that the family keeps redoing for their sons that have mullets.
That's fair. So basically, like, Cindy and George got this notice, I think, from the police on their door that was like, hey, this car has been impounded. So they go to the impound lot. They go to drive it back. They notice it smelled like it had a dead body in it. George was a cop. Cindy is a nurse. That's how, like, they both knew what decaying flesh would smell like before you ask, because that was what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Apparently she and George like sprayed Febreze and then let the car air out. And they're like, Casey, what the hell's up? So Casey had told her mom that she and Kaylee took the car to Jacksonville. Obviously that was a lie since they found it impounded. So Cindy ended up going through Casey's purse. She found her phone. She called Casey's friend who got her to take her to Casey and found out that she was just staying with the boyfriend this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And Cindy's like, okay, where's Kaylee? It's been a month. And so Casey gets in the car. They start driving around. This bitch is stalling. And then finally later that day on July 15th, 2008, Cindy called the police to report that her granddaughter had been missing for 31 days, and she ended up making 3 911 calls in total that day. She was like kind of hysterical.
Yeah, because I think the first one was that she was saying that like she stole the car, and then it all came out like it's just crazy.
And she said to the dispatcher that it The car smelled like it had had a dead body in it.
Had a damn dead body in it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a yikes. So then the next day, which I was actually like, I'm impressed with how quickly they moved on this. The next day, Casey's arrested for child neglect, giving false statements to law enforcement, and obstruction of a criminal investigation. On July 22nd, 2008, the judge set the bail at $500,000. So Casey initially told the police that Kaylee went missing. She basically like dropped her off with this babysitter named Zanny Gonzalez.
Zanny the nanny.
Zanny.
That's the what nanny. She said it was. Yeah. And she said Zanny was like 25 years old, said she was like a young woman. Yeah. And that she was like, oh, like, yeah, everything about.
And she basically says that she like claimed she went to work at Universal Studios, came back. Kaylee was gone. This is like honestly so funny to me because number one, she did not work there. She'd been fired years before.
Right.
And they like they found that out because kind of a similar situation to the car. Like they took her to Universal Studios and they're like, all right, show us where you work. And she's just like walking around aimlessly. And then finally is like, all right,
she got to a dead end. They walked her into like a dead end and she's like, okay, I don't work here. And they're like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
The dots connect. We're not in any of the private areas.
Yeah. The cops are like on the side, like taking bets on when she's going to give it up. Yeah. You know?
But she's like still adamant the fact that this nanny has kidnapped her daughter.
Right. They go to the address that Casey claims that she dropped Kaylee off at, and nobody had lived there for months.
Yeah.
And also, there was a woman named Zenaida Gonzalez, but she never knew them.
She never lived there. She actually lived like 20 miles away, and she was an older woman.
She never knew those people. And like, how did you... I feel like if you're going to make up a fake name, like you can't be like McLovin. You have to go with a general name.
Yeah.
Like, and also this someone is so who oddly specific. How would you come up with that?
I wonder if she like saw the name somehow because it was a real person. I was like, oh, I'll pick that. They'll never...
Well, there's one theory that she met someone while she was in jail. This woman, I want to say her name was April or something like that. And April's story was that her daughter actually was kidnapped by the nanny. And then something happened, not the same name, but just it was like the same type of story. And so they think that maybe Casey was like, oh, okay, yeah, that'll be my story.
Oh, yeah, I'll just take your story.
Just kind of use that as an inspiration because that woman who she was like sharing a cell with or something, I think in the initial when she was first arrested, had a very similar story.
Interesting.
Yes.
I don't know. All right. So after that, do you have something else to add?
No. That's all.
Yeah.
I was adding.
That's weird. Okay. After that I messed up the timeline. Okay. So whatever. July 17th, which is the day after Casey gets arrested, cadaver dogs picked up the scent of human decomposition in Casey's car. On August 27th, they do an air sample test. I don't know what that is, which indicates there are human remains in Casey's trunk.
I know that part. I was so intrigued by that being a way to test if like what is the disease.
It was like bogus.
This guy was talking about how he basically spent his whole life developing this technology about trying to figure out because when you're dead, your body releases these like gases.
Yeah.
And so he was saying he tested levels of that. But that's also been like, there's been some arguments about people being like, well, there's just natural things in the air. And anyway, there's even been arguments about the decomposition, about what they found with that, like how that could have just really been something else as well.
I feel like dead animals in general could probably release similar gases too. I feel like that's a hard
But then the question is like, because Casey was claiming that that smell wasn't a dead body, it was just like old pizza, and everyone's like, those don't smell the same.
They said there was like a pizza wrapped in a bag that had like maggots on it, and then they'd been sitting in the hot Florida sun for like weeks, and so that's what the smell was.
Expired half and half here.
Even the guy at the impound lot was like, yeah, it smelled like a body.
A lot of people, they were like, you could smell it from like the outside the car,
which is kind of weird because I'm like, wouldn't you call the police? That's what they do on SVU. Also around this time, like August 26th-ish, it leaked to the press that Casey had wanted to give Kaylee up for adoption, but her mom wouldn't let her. And then on July 7th, they found this poem that she wrote on MySpace, which is hilarious.
Takes me back.
It goes, what is given can be taken away. Everyone lies. Everyone dies. True Shakespeare.
I was like, that's...
Isn't that a lyric from like a song or something?
I have no idea.
I feel like it's like Evanescence-inspired.
I mean, it could be from anything. Like,
she was listening to Bring Me to Life, My Immortal Evanescence, writing that song.
On her MySpace while her daughter is like missing.
So, but this is July 7th during the time when Kaylee would have already been gone, but she wasn't telling anyone.
Correct.
That's which makes it suspicious.
Fucked up,
yeah.
Casey.
No, come on, Casey.
Come on, Casey.
Then on October 14, 2008, a grand jury indicts her on capital murder charges. She pleads not guilty, of course.
Shocker.
On December 11, 2008, police find remains in a wooded area less than a mile from...
No, a meter reader found him. So a guy like literally...
Oh, yeah. So this guy... Yeah. Well, yeah. The guy found them. He and called the police. What do I do? I think he found it as soon as August, but the police... Like, we're like, we don't see anything. And then finally in December, they eventually find it. But like, they were tipped off by this guy.
Yeah, they call because there's
justice
like
a, for
there's
meter readers.
Well, there's a 911 call because he called his boss. Well, because he said he didn't know what it was. So he took a stick and he put it through the eye hole and lifted it up, which will be something that Jose Baez, who is her attorney later on, says, well, all of the evidence has been tampered with. You can't use any of the bones. And it's like, buddy, we found the bones of Kaylee Anthony. We're going to fucking use them.
We can use
them. But so this guy was essentially pulled over to go pee, which is so they were saying
that's
that like
a serial flashback.
Yeah.
Pulls over to pee in the woods and finds a body. Don't pee in the woods. You'll find a body.
Yeah.
Because two for two.
Yeah, calls just wait his for the, boss. Yeah. His boss calls the 911 at 911. Literally, he's like, we just found a skull. And she goes, oh my gosh. Like, and then so, but what's also wild is that what's crazy about this part is that they say when that Kaylee's grandparents, so George and Cindy basically would have these massive search parties. 4,000 people would show up and they didn't check the woods behind their house. How did it take that? Do you know what I mean? But I'm wondering, like, you'd think that the people would check around.
Well, so I was listening to this.
But I guess nobody knows how to properly look for a dead body.
Never. Right.
I'm sure that you're and just also, kind of looking but not really wanting to see. I don't know.
I don't know. I was also listening to Marcia Clark of O.J. Simpson Trial Fame did a podcast on this also. And she said, like, at one point, the remains were submerged under, like,
they said there's like a lot water, of water. Like stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know.
And I also feel like it's hard, too, because if you... have a car involved with it, you're probably like, oh, this could be anywhere, because like if it was like you smell the car, you're like, where was it driven to? So you might,
I would also imagine they aren't looking immediately there. People into their own backyard.
I mean, like, but I don't think it was like it wasn't like technically their backyard, but it was like the woods behind their house. Like,
right. I would imagine that you wouldn't want to like low key implicate yourself if anything was found there.
But you'd think that some of the people searching and the police would be like, well, we have to check all around this house.
Yeah, I do not get why the police did not find this.
We need more meter readers on the cases. Let me tell you that.
I know.
Much.
I need a meter reader.
So after the remains are found 8 days later, they're confirmed to be Kaylee's. And they were found in a trash bag, and there was duct tape hanging from the hair on the skull. And like the prosecution would later argue that the position of the duct tape would have been like over her nose and mouth.
Yeah, and then other
like
people.
A heart sticker on it or something. I feel like I read that too.
No, it was with her blanket. Oh, she was with her Winnie the Pooh blanket, like a. And they found out that her room had been decorated all Winnie the Pooh stuff, so they found this blanket with it. There was also an argument that the tape was over her jaw. Like there was tape somewhere, and that played a big part in this case.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, because it was either they think that it was definitely used in parts to murder her, essentially. So obviously this is a case that caught fire in the media immediately. I mean, this is a mom who didn't report her kid missing for 31 fucking days.
So sketch.
And the baby's two, and now it's, and also now this she's is like, come up dead. Yeah.
It's also interesting. This is around the year that social media really was kicking off too. So it was the first time that everyone could have an opinion that could be heard about a case. And I know that caused a lot of fuel under the fire as well.
I heard that, well, number one, there were like so many outlets that were like live streaming the trial. But I also read that her defense attorney was like having people read the social media comments about Casey and then like devise his strategy around what people were saying.
It was Jose Baez, who's the same guy that defended Scott Peterson. I was telling Robbie last night we were watching
it.
What
a prolific guy.
I was like, I'd love, not that I'd love this, but I'm like, what if on Jose Baez's deathbed, he just says, Casey did do it and Scott didn't.
Yes.
Ooh.
Is that what you, interesting. That would be great. Yeah. I hope that he would spill the tea on his deathbed.
So, but at this point, when he took this case too, he wasn't as like, people knew he was like good, but like people didn't realize he was like as good. Like,
but was he is Lacey Peterson in 2002? I guess he lost.
No. I mean, I think was Casey before
Lacey.
Lacey was
no,
Lacey
I know, but before
this is in what year was this in?
This is like 2008.
I don't know, because when I was watching the Casey Anthony American Murder or whatever, they were saying that he was. They didn't even mention the Scott Peterson case in it.
Well, maybe weird. They watched it. Yeah, weird.
Was it? Because wasn't it? I thought it was like 2002. Yeah, 2002 was when
we looked it up on your phone. Let's get a little timeline.
Go, Danny.
Because that is weird that they would be like Jose Baez is like he was the man to call if you were in trouble, but he
good to know.
Lacey Peterson was
nailed it.
Interesting,
but also he did lose, so
he did. So maybe they didn't say that.
So
but,
yeah, maybe but that's
they
were, why.
But on this whatever, then on the documentary that I was watching, they said that he was still relatively new. Which
I mean, it's
maybe that was a lie.
It's like 6 to 8 years later. So yeah. Okay.
So basically, the media, thanks to our girl Nancy Grace.
Oh my God,
Casey Anthony was. Referred to as Tot Mom,
which is not no offense to Nancy, but that's not even inventive. Like
Tot Mom,
it's Tot like Mom.
It's got a ring to it.
Yeah. That could be anyone.
It sounds like a canceled CBS like mid-season replacement,
like shitty sitcom. Yeah, like come on, let's get some more pizzazz.
She essentially became the most hated woman in America. It was. This whole story came out, and then because Florida's records are like kind of very open.
Oh yeah, that's why you have all the Florida Man subreddit stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But basically, when Casey was in jail, all of her phone calls and all of these videos of like her meeting with her parents were essentially like shown to the public. And the way that she acted in this whole thing, we haven't even talked about the way that she acted when she was even being interviewed that stuff. Like essentially, Casey Anthony got called in by the cops, and all the cops are kind of like, this woman was showing no remorse. They're like, normally when kids are missing, women are frantic.
Panicked.
Parents are frantic. And she was just talking about how she wanted to be a personal trainer. They were like, the conversation was always about Casey. Like she was never at all like concerned, which is like
right. And some people were like, well, she's 22, maybe she's in denial, but she didn't act like affected at all.
Yeah, she didn't act affected at all. So essentially that carried over to these conversations that her parents would come visit her, and she was like yelling at them. She was cruel. Like her mom was like, they found Kaylee dead. And I think Casey's response was, surprise, surprise.
What?
Like fully with no heart or no anything. She just goes, surprise, surprise. And then she was I don't have answers for you. I don't know what, like everything. She was just screaming at them. This think about it. She essentially gave them like a think what I'm going through.
And you're like, you don't seem to be going through any duress or stress.
And then when her mom like did some press conference, like they called Casey and she's like, I saw your little appearance. Like, what do you mean you don't know what my involvement is? Like, she's just
like, she would call her parent. And like, there's also phone recordings where she's like, I don't even want to talk to you right now. Just give me Nick's number, who was her boyfriend at the time. So she'd be in jail.
I think that's the same phone call.
Yeah. But then they have, that was like a recorded one. But then they have a video one where they actually show her parents with her, and like you should see her face is just full of like rage when she's literally like surprise.
We should like play some of this.
It's on the ID documentary, which is on Hulu. It's just 3 parts. It's called Casey Anthony American Murder.
No relation to Taylor Swift Miss Americana on Netflix.
No, not a single relation. So the media portrayal of Casey. So we have Tot Mom here from Nancy Grace. Nancy Grace is all over the case.
Nancy Grace is on the case.
I know, is that
Nancy
slogan?
Grace should it be. Should be. Let's message her. But essentially, the media, is giving us the goods, painting Casey to be
Her apart.
They tore her apart. I mean, there's good reason. She essentially lied about having this nanny for 3 years. Casey Anthony was lying. Every day she was saying,
like, check up on this. I don't understand.
She was saying basically for months that she was going to her job and leaving her kid with the nanny when none of that was true. So she was like bringing Casey or Kaylee over to the boyfriend's house and stuff like that. But basically nobody knew what the fuck was going on.
That's such a, it gave me like Jean-Claude Romand vibes.
I love that.
Like you're just pretending to work.
I also feel like it's a hard thing too for people to check in, because I mean your immediate reaction to someone being like, oh, I'm dropping off my kid at the nanny then going to work, you're not gonna be like, are you?
I know, but then it's kind of weird. I'm like, no one had met this nanny, like she made this up 3 years ago and no one probed a little deeper on this.
Well, there was also a version of events, like basically Casey lied about everything. There was also a version of events where she had met this guy named I think Jeff something, not Jeff Buckley, he's a singer, but Jeff.
Not Jeff Bezos.
Not Jeff Bezos. He's Amazon. She met some guy that essentially she said was like a wealthy suitor.
Maybe he
introduced her to the nanny. And then when the nanny kidnapped, she got scared that they were going to do something, so she never talked about it. And this guy was like, I didn't introduce her to any nanny. I like barely knew this chick.
How did they even meet?
There's no fucking backstory. It's just literally
a Dunkin' Donuts parking lot. Who knows?
Yeah. There was that's it. So lied about that. Lied about the job. She stole checks from her friend during the time Kaylee was missing. She later had to serve probation for a check fraud. Oh, that's like, what is it saying? It's like Al Capone on tax evasion.
Anyway, she only got probation.
That's current. Go. Okay.
Not for Sarah. She had no clue what you just said.
I was like, why? Because we're all about to go to jail for tax evasion because I suck at doing taxes.
No, Al Capone was like a big
mobster. No, I know what you're talking about. And they finally caught him on tax evasion.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
That's what I was talking about. Oh, yeah. You look down, you're like,
Oh, no, so I know what
Sarah doesn't know what that is. She knows exactly what that is, Danny.
Yeah, how dare you doubt me?
Anyway, okay, drink your almond served milk. Probation for check fraud.
I'll do it reluctantly.
She was depicted as a... Oh, here's... Yeah, this is also a thing, is that during the time her... cherry on top of the sundae is that her boyfriend and her boyfriend's friend were both DJs. Beep, 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 beep. And so...
Enter Sandman.
Yeah, like DJ Anonymous or yeah. DJ Buckfuck or whatever. I don't know.
What?
But you know how DJ Buckfuck... anyway...
Yeah, he's one of my favorites, actually. Yeah. Top three.
Top three Buckfuck. Anyway, these guys, like the friend Clint, basically, who Clint. Was on trial, he took the stand. He also was in this documentary, and so was her boyfriend Nick. But they have basically these theme parties every weekend, and one of them was a hot body themed. So
that's not even a theme. Like
it was in the early 2000s.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Yeah,
it's like just wear your low rise jeans and a crop top.
It's just it's and just a white girls tank top. Dancing. Yeah. Literally. Yeah. But so essentially they had a hot pot and he's like, in case he went down, he's like, well, she went to all of our parties, but this is the one where there's the infamous pictures of her like in this blue dress and she's like grinding on people, like dancing. She's smiling. She's laughing. She's like being sexually suggestive, which I mean, you know, she's a woman. She can do whatever she wants. But when your kid is missing,
that's not how you act.
Yeah.
You'd be searching
again.
For it. Yeah.
I mean, we were watching this show and Robbie was like, it just looks like a mental break. Like it looks, but you know, who knows? Who knows?
I didn't watch it, but
I don't know.
It just seems like someone who doesn't give a fuck.
It does. We don't know how anybody handles grief, but this just outwardly seems questionable. Yeah. You know, and so she is dancing on tables and all these pictures are shown obviously at the trial because you know it's during the time when she doesn't know where her kid is and she's, you know, got her tits up. So the day that
up, not out,
tits up, like from Miss Maisel.
Yeah, I was gonna say Miss Maisel. Yeah.
So the day that Kaylee drowned, she supposedly okay. That's a big bombshell that the defense pops in the trial. They claim that Kaylee has drowned and that
on like June 5th,
yeah.
16th,
so basically, when the trial starts, Jose Baez basically drops all these bombs that he like never kind of talks about again, but essentially. Everybody goes, oh, she's missing, she's killed, da-da-da. And he's like, she's been dead the whole time. And that's a huge bombshell. And apparently the day that she drowned, she watched a movie. Casey watched a movie with her boyfriend. And they went to Blockbuster.
TBT.
They were like cuddling like a normal couple on the day, supposedly, according
that her daughter
to,
drowned.
According to her and to Jose Baez, that her daughter
and
drowned.
And also the prosecution.
She rented a movie. As you do, you know. And then she also, within that time frame, got a tattoo that said Bella Vita, which of course means the beautiful life.
So trashy.
So trashy. No offense
to
anybody
that
got
one. That's the real crime.
I have a tribal tramp stamp. I can't. I have a fairy by my vagina. I can't say anything, but
oh my
Bella
God.
Vita, after your kid dies, that's a little.
That seems just like
read
off.
The room. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Read the room.
Read the room. So she's got the trashy tattoo. She's acting like this. You guys, what
she's
are
wearing
we?
Less, going out more, getting tramp stamps.
I know.
It's not a good look if your daughter is
it's
missing.
Not, it's kind of one of those things all signs are pointing to. Like, girl, you are not going to help yourself.
Because I think the main argument was that they were trying to paint Casey as somebody who wanted to live a childless life.
Yeah.
And she's doing nothing to kind of prove them different.
And it's that hard thing too where she had the child when she was on a younger side, so everyone could kind of
so
just
young.
Be like, oh, she just regrets having a kid, XYZ type
the,
of situation.
The one thing that's crazy about this whole thing though is that everybody that they did interview that had interacted with Casey and Kaylee were like, she was a great mom. Like her, they had a great relationship. So that's what kind of makes this whole thing a little bit more fucked up is that she was like trying to give Kaylee up for adoption. She like seemingly is not reacting that her child is we thought missing, but actually dead. But that she was a great mom to her. So it's like, where is, you know.
People are layered.
People
are layered.
Yikes. People are layered. What do you guys, how would you,
I feel like it's one of those ones where it's, to me, it feels very clean cut of what happened. That she was just, I don't know what was going on with her or a total motive for it, but I feel like it seems to be one of those things. She did not want to be a mother anymore, was sort of maybe regretting choices that she made that led her to that, and just kind of wanted to start, start again as, like, with her youth.
It's always interesting to go back to these cases that, like, I remember growing up, like, as they were happening in the media, and then actually delve into the facts. I feel like a lot of them, I totally had a misconception, like Scott Peterson, for example. Like, I would have gathered from the media portrayal that they had all this evidence when they really had nothing. This one, I'm like, I think they're kind of on the money with
it. They have evidence, but they really don't have... I mean, after...
They don't have physical evidence, that's because it took so long to find the body. It was so, like, decomposed.
This is also something that I saw that was kind of leads... That's a little bit questionable. This was in one of the articles I read. Again, you know, this is one of those cases. There's so much information that you don't know what is, you know...
The news
what
versus the
was
noise.
Used. Yeah.
Ooh, I like this that.
Is I did not coin it. It's that girl on Instagram who, like, explains politics. It's really great.
Oh, cool. Mm.
Essentially... Casey stole some gas cans from her father's shed at one point. She stole, and Nick has corroborated the story. Her boyfriend was like, yeah, we broke in and we stole them, because George actually confronted Casey and Casey returned the gas cans. But apparently the gas cans had this piece of duct tape on there that was like this kind of like special piece of duct tape, or like a different kind of duct tape. And when they were returned, that was missing.
And then there was duct tape on.
And so that's one thing that I found in one of the articles. So
duct tape is up for debate, which I guess we'll get into in the trial. But that's also weird. It's like, why not just buy your own duct tape?
And it's kind of, before even jumping into the trial part, I feel like I'm kind of interested. Why do you guys think that this case blew up? Do you think it was the perfect timing, and also like of social media growing, and then along with being such like a type of case that people have such strong opinions on?
Okay, I'll say it. She's an attractive white woman who allegedly killed her daughter. Mm-hmm. Like, that is like the perfect crime to create a shitstorm out of.
It's a perfect...
Scott Peter... Like, people, like, love attractive dead people. Like, in the media, like, Scott and Lacey Peterson were, like, this attractive couple.
I feel like people get so invested in the idea that it's, like, a fall from grace, because it's like, oh, this... Like, because especially in the early 2000s and even now, it's like, oh, if you're hot, you have it all. You were popular in high school. You have a kid and a car, and then meanwhile, look what all happened.
These ugly girls. Please talk like that all the time. Yeah. I love that for you.
Yeah. Meanwhile, all
Danny
these, like,
playing straight dude bro.
Danny the bro.
Yeah.
I would say, meanwhile, all these gross, ugly white guys kill a bunch of people.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
We had to, like, truly drag... the court to let Harvey Weinstein get charged, and meanwhile,
it's disgusting.
That's fucking...
But you're right. There is, I think that some of these cases catch fire because obviously they are more pleasant to look at, which is disgusting.
It's that sad thing, especially then, like tabloid journalism. It's who would be on the front cover? You have this really attractive, like 20-something woman,
or you have Harvey Weinstein.
And they're like, we'll do that. And the character? Did you see the caricature drawings of like his naked body?
Did they? Ew, no.
Because you know they're not doing... We'll leave you guys with a little modern touch, because they're not doing a court photographer in there,
right?
Because
they're just doing like the sketches.
So they have the sketches, and because
they draw them with horns.
One of the
yes,
worse.
They just
there.
Like scribble on the page, and they're like, "That's his face."
A lack thereof of horns. So it was like this. One of the witnesses was talking about how like his genital area was like a little deformed. So then the jurors were like, yeah, we need to see that. So he was photographed nude by a court photographer, and then the pictures passed around to the juror, and a court sketch person captured
it. Wait, I want to see this, but I don't.
Google it.
You should Google it.
I'm going to Google it. Okay.
All right. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think... I don't know. I don't really have any parting thoughts.
I know. So
I just think like, and it's sort of like also with Scott Peterson to an extent. It's like, you get the leeway of none of us can predict how we would act during grief, but you get it to an extent. And like this to me is so far past that extent that I'm like, I don't know that I can give you the benefit of the doubt right now.
There's a lot of this that when you look at it as a regular sane person, go, this isn't normal.
Exactly. Also, I do
this
feel like though,
nice
don't
behavior.
You guys, you all have like one friend in your friend group who's like a total, or someone you know who's like a total pathological liar for like no reason. Yeah. Like I used to like know one of those types of people. And it's just like, why are you lying about this? Like, it was so easily fact checkable.
Oh, I have a friend.
Yeah, see? Mm-hmm. And then you're like, what if that friend's kid went missing? Like, wow. Yeah. You know?
Because that's the thing. You're like, who are we doing this for? Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know. I feel like it's like, yeah, no logical, sane person would act like that. But I'm like imagining, what would this weird pathological liar person I know do?
Like, how do they write their own truth of situations?
Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
I don't like it.
I don't like it at all. Thank you guys for listening. And in part two, we're going to talk about the trial, the verdict.
And the aftermath.
And the aftermath.
Like her dumb interview she gave about 10 years later.
Oh, to Piers Morgan?
Oh, God.
Yeah, she was doing an interview with Piers Morgan.
She's like, Kaylee would be a badass. She'd be 12. She'd probably be playing instruments. It's like, well, maybe you should have let her have that choice.
Yeah, maybe you should have not.
Just kidding, guys.
Yeah. Also, how she has recently said that.
Bitch that angry.
How recently she said that she wants to have kids again. I'm like, I implore you, nah, men of the world. I know she's hot, but please do not.
It was almost hard trying to find like the old information because like the first like three pages of Google. Oh, I went into like web archives.
Like I went into like
just Casey Anthony wants a baby. Casey Anthony wants a baby.
I know. Like, no, I went into like the Wayback Machine and was reading like cached news reports for this. So that's how I found a lot of this stuff, because that's the problem with researching these cases that are like huge in the media. It's like I want to know like what you guys were saying about it when it was developing. Yep. And a lot of those things have been taken down, but I'm like, nothing on the internet, it's ever gone. So yeah, I just search it in like Wayback Machine.
Okay,
anyways,
so tune in next week for the trial of the century, as they all are called.
And I know there. How many trials of the century can we have? We can only really have one.
I know. How many centuries? As always, you guys follow us on Instagram, NATC Pod.
Yeah,
yeah, you got it.
NATC Pod. Follow me at Case V, Case with the C.
Follow me at Cashmere Danny, Cashmere with a K.
Follow me, Sarah F. Carter, no H. I don't know. I felt like I needed to add some spelling caveat in there.
Like, tag us. Keep doing what you're doing. We love it.
Send us your fray challenge.
Ah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
How to save a life.
How to save a life. All right. Part two.
Did you say Bezos?
That's Kiss and Fun.
Bezos.
No. Bezos. Zoo.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is hosted by Casey Balsham,
Danny Murphy,
and Sarah Levine.
Our editor is Mike Coscarelli.
Our podcast managers are Sean Kilby and Mike Coscarelli.
Social media by Sarah Levine.
Artwork by Brittany Levine. Be sure to follow us at NATC Pod on Instagram.
Betches.